Okay, so today we're diving into those tantrum triggers that can really make life with a 7-year-old sometimes feel like a roller coaster. You've reached out because you're interested in how to help your kid navigate those those tricky moments. So you already know that tantrums are totally normal at this age.
Oh, yeah.
But we're gonna like go beyond the basics here today. We're gonna give you some seriously effective tools and strategies based on, the latest research and expert advice.
Yeah, what's really interesting about this deep dive is that instead of, just trying to like stop tantrums in their tracks, right?
Right.
We're actually going to explore how understanding like the why behind them can actually help you prevent them from happening in the first place.
Okay, that sounds pretty promising. But before we get into all of that, one of the articles we looked at from Davenport Psychology mentioned, how can we tell the difference between like a normal tantrum and one that might signal something more serious?
Yeah, they're right. While tantrums are super common for 7-year-olds, if you're seeing really frequent, intense outbursts that are really hard to manage, that might be a sign that there's something else going on, that needs a little extra attention. It's like, think of it like a flashing red light on your car's dashboard,
Right.
a signal to check things out.
Got it. So we're on the lookout for those red flags, but for those like everyday tantrums, where do we even begin to unpack those triggers?
Well, imagine stepping into the shoes of a 7-year-old for a minute.
Yeah.
They're facing a world with like growing expectations at school and more complex friendships, and a constant push for independence. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for anyone, let alone a kid whose brain is still,
Yeah.
developing. All that stress and anxiety can really easily just like bubble over into a tantrum.
It's true. We often forget just how much they're juggling at that age. And on top of that, their emotional control panel is still under construction, right?
Exactly. And that's where the concept of co-regulation comes in. So you're essentially acting as their emotional coach, helping them learn to manage those big feelings.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So instead of getting frustrated ourselves when a tantrum hits, we can use it as an opportunity to like teach those valuable coping skills. Tell me more about this co-regulation thing. Like, does it actually work? What are some of the like techniques?
It's not about like stopping the tantrum in its tracks,
Yeah.
but it's more about helping your child ride the wave of those like big emotions. Think about it when you're stressed, what helps you calm down? Taking a few deep breaths, right?
Definitely, it's like hitting the reset button for your nervous system.
Exactly. And it's the same for kids. So when you join your child and like taking those deep breaths, you're essentially sending a signal to their nervous system that things are okay. It helps shift them from that like fight or flight mode to a calmer state where they can start to, regain control.
So it's not just about the breathing, it's like about our presence and reassurance during those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Another simple but effective technique is creating like a designated calm down space, like a cozy corner with soft blankets and calming colors, or maybe a few like favorite books. Having a safe haven like this can help your child, learn to self-soothe and regulate their
Wow,
emotions.
that makes so much sense. Speaking of calm spaces, one of the articles we read really emphasized the importance of like a peaceful home environment for helping kids manage those big emotions.
It's crucial, and it goes beyond just having a tidy house. Think about it, if your home is constantly buzzing with stress and chaos, it's going to be harder for anyone to stay chill, especially a 7-year-old who's already dealing with all those like developmental changes.
So we're talking about things like decluttering, choosing calming colors, maybe even using some essential oils for a soothing scent.
Exactly. You're essentially creating like a sensory experience that promotes relaxation and well-being. And don't underestimate the power of natural light. Opening up those curtains and letting the sun shine in can work wonders for everyone's mood.
Wait, so I'm not just following the latest home decor trends. I'm actually supporting my child's emotional development.
You got it. It all ties back to how our own behavior as parents impacts our kids' emotional well-being. And that brings us to like a fascinating concept called mindful parenting.
Okay, I've heard that term thrown around, but I'm not sure I fully grasp it. Fill me in. What does mindful parenting have to do with all of this? And like, how can we actually put it into practice, especially when our kid is like melting down in the middle of the grocery store?
Mindful parenting is about being present with your child, both physically and emotionally. It's about tuning into their feelings and responding in a way that makes them feel heard and understood, even when those feelings are, big and messy.
Okay, I'm getting it. So instead of getting caught up in my own frustration or trying to shut down the tantrum, I take a deep breath, get down on their level, and try to see things from their perspective.
That's exactly it. And remember, mindful parenting isn't about being perfect. We all lose it
Oh,
sometimes,
yeah.
and that's okay. It's about being aware of our own emotions, recognizing our triggers, and developing healthier coping mechanisms.
So it's like putting on our own oxygen mask first before helping our little one with theirs. We need to be regulated before we can co-regulate. Makes sense.
Now let's shift gears and talk about a few factors that can make tantrums a bit trickier to navigate. We need to consider things like neurodiversity and the potential impact of past experiences.
Okay, that sounds important. Let's dive into that. What do you want to know about those situations?
Well, for kids with conditions like ADHD or autism, emotional regulation can be especially challenging. Their brains are wired a bit differently. And those like everyday frustrations can feel much more intense. And if a child has experienced trauma in the past, you know, those big emotions can trigger feelings of fear or insecurity, making tantrums even more explosive.
So awareness is key here. We need to recognize that some kids might need additional support and understanding.
Absolutely. And that's where seeking professional guidance can be incredibly helpful.
That makes sense. I'm sure we'll dive into that a bit later. But before we move on, you mentioned earlier that our own behavior plays a huge role in shaping our kids' emotional landscape. It feels like a lot of pressure.
It's not about being perfect, but it's about being intentional and consistent. You know, it's about recognizing that we're constantly teaching our kids about emotions, even when we don't realize it.
You've definitely piqued my curiosity. Tell me more about this, like, teaching aspect. How do we become those emotional coaches you were talking about earlier?
Well, it starts with modeling. If we're constantly yelling or losing our cool, that's what our kids are going to learn. On the other hand, if we can show them how to manage stress in healthy ways, they're more likely to follow suit.
Ouch, that hits a little close to home. We've all had those momster or dadzilla moments where we react in ways we're not proud of.
We're human. But the good news is that we can change those patterns. It starts with becoming aware of our own triggers, what sets us off, what makes us feel overwhelmed or stressed. Once we know our pressure points, we can work on developing healthier coping mechanisms.
That sounds like a great starting point. But what else can we do to create a more positive and supportive environment for our kids? I know the sources mentioned something about the importance of boundaries. But how does that work when boundaries themselves can often trigger tantrums?
Boundaries are crucial for helping kids feel safe and secure. But it's all about how we present them. Think of it like building a scaffold. We're providing support while they learn to navigate the world on their own.
So instead of a flat out no, it's more about acknowledging their feelings, setting a clear limit, and offering an alternative.
You got it. For example, instead of saying, no, you can't have a cookie before dinner, you could try, I know you really want a cookie, and we can definitely have one after dinner. But right now, let's fuel up with some healthy food so we have energy to play later.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like we're teaching them how to navigate those tricky situations instead of just shutting them down.
Exactly. And the research shows that positive parenting styles, those that emphasize warmth, communication, and respectful boundaries, lead to better outcomes for kids in the long run.
That's reassuring to hear. But even with the best strategies, I'm guessing tantrums are still going to happen sometimes. It's just part of being a kid, right?
You're absolutely right. But here's the thing. Sometimes those tantrums can be a sign that we need a little extra support, too. Remember that elephant we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the elephant needs a helping hand.
You mean seeking professional help? Isn't that usually focused on the child?
It can be. But it's often beneficial for the whole family. Professionals like the folks at Davenport Psychology can provide individual therapy for kids, but they can also equip parents with tools and strategies to better manage those challenging moments. They can help you understand your child's unique needs and develop a personalized approach that works for your family.
So it's not just about fixing the child. It's about the entire family learning and growing together.
Precisely. Family dynamics play a huge role in how kids experience and express their emotions. Think about it, our own stress levels, how we communicate, how we handle conflict. All of that trickles down to our kids.
It's like we're all dancers in this intricate routine, learning the steps together, sometimes stepping on each other's toes, but ultimately creating something beautiful.
That's a great analogy. And remember, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It shows that you're committed to doing everything you can to support your child and create a happier, healthier family dynamic.
You've given me so much to think about already, but before we wrap up, I'm curious about something you mentioned earlier. Davenport Psychology highlighted a specific situation where tantrums might be a sign of something more serious. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Of course. It's about recognizing when a tantrum might be a signal of a neurodevelopmental condition, something like ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, or an anxiety disorder.
So those red flags we talked about earlier, How can we tell if it's something we should dig into further?
It's all about patterns. If your child's tantrums are unusually severe, frequent, or if they're having a significant impact on their daily life at school, at home with friends, that's when it's time to pay attention and consider seeking professional guidance.
So it's not just about the occasional meltdown over a lost toy. It's about those tantrums that seem to be happening all the time over seemingly small things and that are really hard to manage.
Exactly. And it's not about labeling your child. It's about understanding that they might need different support strategies to help them thrive.
Okay, that makes sense. So what's the first step if we suspect something like this might be going on?
Trust your gut. If you have concerns, talk to your pediatrician or child psychologist. They can help assess the situation and rule out any other potential issues and guide you towards the right resources and support. Remember, early intervention is key. The sooner we can identify and address any challenges, the better the outcomes for your child.
That's reassuring to know. It sounds like there's a whole network of support out there for families navigating these challenges.
Absolutely. You're not alone in this.
Yeah.
And now as we wrap up this deep dive into tantrum triggers, let's shift our focus to what you can do proactively to create a calmer, more supportive environment for your child.
Yes, let's talk about those strategies that can help us prevent tantrums from happening in the first place. I'm sure you've got some great tips up your sleeve.
Well, remember those calming spaces we talked about earlier? Those can be incredibly powerful tools, not just for during a tantrum, but also for preventing those meltdowns from happening in the first place.
You mean like setting up a designated chill-out zone where kids can go to de-stress?
Exactly. It could be a cozy corner in their bedroom, a quiet spot in the living room, or even a little tent they can escape to when they're feeling overwhelmed.
So we're creating a safe haven where they can regulate their emotions before things escalate to a full-blown tantrum.
Precisely. And think about the sensory elements: soft blankets, calming colors, maybe some fidget toys or stress balls.
It's like we're creating a little sensory spa for them to retreat to.
Exactly. And this ties back to the importance of understanding your child's unique needs and triggers. Some kids might crave deep pressure, so a weighted blanket might be calming. Others might be sensitive to noise, so noise-canceling headphones could be helpful.
So it's about paying attention to what helps your child feel calm and grounded, and then creating a space that caters to those needs.
You got it. And this is where those mindful parenting skills come in again. It's about being attuned to your child's cues and responding in a way that supports their emotional well-being.
So instead of waiting for a tantrum to erupt, we can proactively create an environment that helps them stay regulated.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Even small things can make a big difference.
Like what? Give us some examples.
Well, think about your daily routines. Are there any predictable triggers that tend to set off tantrums? Maybe it's getting ready for school in the morning or the transition from playtime to bedtime.
Oh yeah, those are definitely prime meltdown times in our house.
Once you've identified those tricky spots, you can start to build in some strategies to help your child navigate them more smoothly.
Okay, so how do we do that? Walk us through it.
Let's take the morning routine as an example. If getting dressed is a battle every day, try laying out clothes the night before, giving your child choices. Do you want to wear the blue shirt or the red shirt? This can help them feel more in control and reduce the chances of a power struggle.
Ah, the power of choice. That's a great tip. What about those bedtime battles? Any advice for those?
Bedtime routines are all about consistency and predictability. Create a calming sequence of events. Maybe a bath drum, a story, some quiet time with a favorite stuffed animal. And stick to the same routine every night, even on weekends, so your child knows exactly what to expect.
So it's like we're sending those calming signals to their nervous system, letting them know it's time to wind down and get ready for sleep.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of connection. Spend some quality time with your child before bed. Cuddle up and read a book, talk about their day, or just enjoy some quiet snuggles. This helps them feel loved and secure, which can make the transition to sleep much easier.
These tips are really practical. I'm already thinking about how I can incorporate them into our daily routines.
And remember, it's all about experimenting and finding what works best for your child and your family. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. But the key is to be proactive, to create an environment that supports emotional regulation, and to remember that we're all in this together.
That's such a powerful message. It's not about being perfect. It's about being present, understanding our child's needs, and creating a safe and loving space where they can learn and grow.
Beautifully put. Now, before we wrap up this deep dive completely, I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder.
Okay, I'm ready for the mic drop moment. Hit me with it.
Think about your home environment. How can you create a space that truly feels like a safe haven for your child during those moments of emotional overwhelm? A space where they feel seen, heard, and understood, no matter what storms are brewing inside.
That's a powerful question to consider. It's not just about the physical space, but about the emotional atmosphere we create in our homes. How can we make it a place where our kids feel safe to express their big feelings, knowing that we'll be there to support them without judgment?
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of empathy and understanding within your family.
Mm.
It's about letting your child know that it's okay to feel their feelings, even the messy ones,
mm.
and that you'll be there to help them navigate them.
So much of this comes back to us as parents, doesn't it? We need to be those role models, showing our kids how to handle our own emotions in healthy ways.
Absolutely. Our kids are watching us all the time, you know, learning from our reactions and our behaviors. And if we can show them that it's okay to feel sad, angry, frustrated, and that we can work through those emotions in constructive ways, we're giving them a priceless gift.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. We've explored the why behind those tantrums, the power of co-regulation, the importance of a calm home environment, and those proactive strategies that can help us prevent those meltdowns before they even start.
And we've touched on the importance of seeking professional support when needed, remembering that we don't have to navigate this parenting journey alone.
You've given us so much to think about, and I'm sure you've sparked a lot of curiosity for our listener. What are some of the key takeaways you hope they'll remember from this deep dive?
First and foremost, I hope they'll remember that tantrums are a normal part of development, especially for seven-year-olds. It's not about trying to eliminate them altogether, but rather about understanding the triggers, responding with empathy, and equipping our kids with the skills they need to manage those big feelings.
That's so important. It's a shift in perspective, isn't it? Instead of seeing tantrums as something to fear or avoid, we can see them as opportunities for connection and growth.
Exactly. And I hope our listener will remember the power of co-regulation. It's not about controlling our child's emotions, but about being a calming presence, helping them ride the wave of those big feelings until they reach calmer waters.
And we can't forget the importance of creating a peaceful and supportive home environment, both physically and emotionally.
Absolutely. Our homes should be sanctuaries where our kids feel safe, loved, and understood. And that starts with us as parents. We need to take care of our own emotional well-being so we can show up as the best versions of ourselves for our kids.
You've given us so many practical tools and strategies to try, and I'm feeling really empowered to tackle those tantrum triggers head on.
That's wonderful to hear. And remember, you've got this. Parenting is a journey, not a destination. And every challenge is an opportunity for growth and learning.
Well said. And for our listener, we've got a ton of helpful resources linked in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. And remember, you're not alone in this. There's a whole community of parents out there navigating these same challenges.
That's right. Reach out, connect, and support each other. We're all in this together.
Until next time, keep diving deep. And remember, you're doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this comes back to us as parents, doesn't it? We need to be those role models, you know, showing our kids how to handle our own emotions in healthy ways.
Absolutely. Our kids are watching us all the time,
mm-hmm.
learning from our reactions and our behaviors. If we can show them that it's okay to feel sad, angry, frustrated, and that we can work through those emotions in constructive ways, we're giving them a priceless gift.
This deep dive has been so insightful. We've explored the why behind those tantrums, you know, the power of co-regulation, the importance of a calm home environment, and those proactive strategies that can help us, you know, prevent those meltdowns before they even start.
Mm-hmm. And we've touched on the importance of seeking professional support when needed, remembering that we don't have to navigate this parenting journey alone.
Right. You've given us so much to think about, and I'm sure you've sparked a lot of curiosity for our listeners. So what are some of the key takeaways that you hope they'll remember from this deep dive?
First and foremost, I hope they'll remember that tantrums are a normal part of development, especially for seven-year-olds. It's not about trying to eliminate them altogether. But it's really about understanding the triggers, responding with empathy, and equipping our kids with the skills they need to manage those big feelings.
That's so important. It's a shift in perspective, isn't it? Instead of seeing tantrums as something to fear or avoid, we can see them as opportunities for connection and growth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I hope our listener will remember the power of co-regulation. You know, it's not about controlling our child's emotions, but it's about being a calming presence, helping them ride the wave of those big feelings until they reach, you know, calmer waters.
And we can't forget the importance of creating a peaceful and supportive home environment, both physically and emotionally.
Absolutely. Our homes should be sanctuaries where our kids feel safe, loved, and understood. And that starts with us as parents, you know, We need to take care of our own emotional well-being so that we can show up as the best versions of ourselves for our kids.
You've given us so many practical tools and strategies to try, and I'm feeling really empowered to tackle those tantrum triggers head on.
That's wonderful to hear. And remember, you've got this. Parenting is a journey, not a destination. And every challenge is an opportunity for growth and learning.
Well said. And for our listener, we've got a ton of helpful resources linked in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. And remember, you're not alone in this. There's a whole community of parents out there navigating these same challenges.
That's right. Reach out, connect, and support each other. We're all in this together.
Until next time, keep diving deep, and remember, you're doing an amazing job.